Hidabach. Today's or tomorrow's daf. We're learning Sunday's daf. Sunday's daf is Peiches. Ksuvas daf Peiches. We're going to pick it up from the bottom of Pei Zayin Amid Beis. We left off by the two dots. The Mishnah had said that if an Ein Echad says that the Ksuva was paid, she has to collect with the Shvuot. In one of the cases, another case where she has to collect only with, but she could only collect Aide a Shvuot. Says the Gemara, very similar Gemara that we had one blot ago on Ayin Zayin. On the top of the Amid, on top of Amid Beis. Sava Rambacham the Mimer. Shvuot deraisa. Dechsiv. Layakam Ein Echabish. L'chol Avil Chachatas. Rabbi Muhammad thought to say that this Shvua resembles, just like when we talked about Pegemes Ksuvasa on the top of the Amid, we said that we thought to say that it's the same Shvua of Maidim Mektis, and we ultimately said that it was Rav had Shechufas Bedavar. So it's over here, Rabbi Muhammad thought to say that this Shvua is the Shvua that you do against an Ein Echad. Like the Pasas, like a Mecha Benish, L'chol Avil Chachatas, L'chol Avil Chachatas, we say that an Ein Echad is not sufficient to testify L'chol Avil Chachatas to give a punishment. That a person, Ein Echad is enough, you need to aid him. Aval kamu, but Ein Echad is sufficient, is strong enough for Shvua, to force a Shvua. V'amamar, kamag mishashnai mechayv ma'isim mamon, mechayv Shvua. And the guideline for that is, wherever two aid him would be neman, to mechayv a person to pay mamon, the Ein Echad will at least mechayv to pay Shvua. So Rabbi Yochanan would say, that's mamash our case. The Ein Echad saying the Ksuva is paid, forces her to make a Shvua. That's Ein Echad forcing a Shvua. That's this din taira of Ein Echad, so it's a Shvua deraisa. Amar Rava, shtei tshuvas b'dav. Rava says, there's two tshuvas on this matter. First of all, same exact idea as he had on top of the Amid. First of all the Nishba and the Torah are Nishba and not Mishalim. Meaning, normally this swearing, on the highest level, is swearing to keep, not swearing to collect. We spoke out of Brises, they gave a list of cases of Nishba v'Neitel, but typically swearing is swearing to keep, not swearing to collect. This woman is swearing to collect. That's not the classic Shavuot Raisa. And number two, right, in Nishba v'Kviyas Shiva Karkas, Bechlau, when it comes to something which is a Shiva Karka, there's no Shavua on a denial of a Shiva Karka. And this case of here, she has a lien on the husband's land through the Ksuva, and therefore there wouldn't be a Shavua. So a Shavuot Raisa, there certainly wouldn't be. Elam Arava Midrabanan, it's a Shavuot Rabanan, it's a Shavuot Rabbanan, in order to appease the das of the husband. Now there's a big conversation over here. We didn't really focus on much yesterday on Erev Shabbos, but there's a big conversation over here. What's the nafkamina if it's a Shvuah Darabanan or Shvuah Daraisa? What difference does it make if it's a Shvuah Darabanan or Shvuah Daraisa? So if you notice Rashi brings that if it's Shvuah Taira, when it's a Shvuah and a Daraisa, what do you do? Jump into Rashi on top. Rashi says that you hold the safe for Taira. Look at Rashi on the top of Peches Ben Aleph. Really, we didn't get there. We didn't read the Gemara inside yet, but it's just because I had to jump there already now. Look at top Rashi, top line. They Shvuah Deraisa. She B'Shem. A Shvuah Deraisa is with the Shem Hashem. A Bikini or a Kini Shem Hashem. V'yayches, Sefer Torah, Sefer B'Yadai. And he holds on to Sefer B'Yadai, like we say in Shvuah Staf HaMeches. V'chamurim Ayd. It's very chummer. The punishment for Shvuah Deraisa is very chummer if one lies. Avishdur Rabbanan, if one lies, Klala Ba'alma Ke'en Shalanu. It's a Klala. We're not saying it's a good thing, but a Shvuah Deraisa, it's a Klala if one swears falsely on a Shvuah Deraisa. Shvuah Deraisa, with the Shem Hashem, with the Nikitas Sefer or a Sefer Torah or some sort of Davish Magdusha, that is a much more chametik Shvuah and a terrible, terrible ramifications if one swears falsely. It's very interesting, very nice to Rashi explain these chalukim. If you go back now to Pei Zayin Amid Beis, where we quoted a very similar Gemara yesterday about we thought that the Pegemes Shavuah is a Shavuah Deraisa of Maid Demiktas, and we ultimately Rava fell off it. Rashi says, what's Nafkamina of the Shavuah Deraisa? Top line of Rashi and Pei Zayin Amid Beis, Nafkamina Dilema Fachinala. Nafkamina is, on a Shavuah Deraisa, you can't flip it. On a Shavuah Deraisa, we could say that if one party can't swear, flip the Shavuah, Ashikanegda, another one who could swear, if one party is Chashah Shavuah, is suspect to swear falsely, they can't swear, so you can flip the Shavuah onto the other party. But when there's a Shavuah Deraisa and the person can't swear, they lose. You don't flip the Shavuah onto the other party. So it's very interesting. First of all, I'm a little bothered. Why is Rashi picking two totally different nafkaminas between whether the Shavuah Deraisa or the Shavuah Darabanan? In yesterday's daf on Pezayin and Pezayin on top, Rashi's focused on the element of being able to be mahapich, to flip the Shavuah from the claimant onto the defender, or vice versa. That's the focus of Rashi. Whereas over here, on the bottom of Pezayin is really top of Peches Manal, which again, we didn't read that first, that line of Gemara, but it's connected over here. Rashi's saying the Shavuah Deraisa nafkamina is whether you take a sefer or whether you use Shem Hashem. Number one. Number two, on this is, furthermore, that's just a general question the Farshim comes to explain why Rashi is switching. But further to that, there's an issue with Rashi, the Taisvis, and other Rishenim take issue with Rashi. That's the Taisvis that starts on the bottom of Tosfos, sorry, over here on Pichas Manalef, the second Tosfos, Tosfos takes an issue that Rashi himself in Gittin Daf Lamed Hey, Rashi says that even by a Shvuah Derabanan, we take administer it like a Shvuah Deraisa. We do the same thing, meaning you take a Sefer Torah, you say the Shem Hashem. The only difference, even though it's only Shvuah Derabanan, you say the Shvuah Deraisa. The only Shvuah difference by Derabanan, the Shvuah Deraisa, is the Shvuah Hesed. We mentioned yesterday's share that if someone's Kefir HaKol, even though Maida Mixus swears Midraisa, if one's Kefir HaKol, you don't swear. The Rabbanan, later Rabbanan instituted, because it was a later Amirayim, instituted a concept of a Shvuah Hesed. When they instituted Shvuah Hesed, that was with a lower level, without the Nikita Sefer, a Chayfetz, and without the Shem Hashem. But other Shvuahs, even Rabbinic Shvuahs, are the same as Shvuah Deraisa. And therefore, Tosfos looks to find other Chilukim. If you look, jump into the second Tosfos, on Pichas Manalef, I know we didn't read the Gemara yet, but there it says, Rabbeinu Nira Daf Kamina, Ali B'Dur B'Abed Hilchus L'Kavasei D'Amar, Chazara L'Mechuyivla, Chazul Mechuyivla, Ve'echad En Yachal L'Shava Meshalim. Right, that the Shvuah goes back and forth, similar to what Rashi had said back on Pei Zayin. Nafkamina is whether the Shvuah can be moved back and forth from one litigant to the other. That's one Nafkamina. Another Nafkamina they discuss is, there's various Nafkaminas, but the point is that Tosfos says that the Rashi's Pshat Pei Zayin Ma'alef, on Pei Zayin Vayis on top, that is the more simple Pshat in the Chiluk to Rashi Rabbanan, and he does not like Rashi's Pshat over here, where Rashi's making a Chiluk between holding Sefer Torah and using Shem Hashem. Okay, so that's the Gemara. Amar, bottom line, last words of the page of Pei Zayin Vayis. Amar Papa, top of Pei Zayin Ma'alef. Ipikeach hu, maisi lali de Shvuah Deraisa. If this Baal, the husband, is Bekeach, he's going to bring her to a Shvuah Deraisa. And again, like we just spoke out, that's why Rashi quotes the Nafkamina, whether it's Deraisa or Rashi waits over here, but Rashi quotes the Chilik of a Shvuah Deraisa. Okay, if he's Bekeach, he'll get her, he'll upgrade. I mean, we're saying now the Shvuah is Darabanan. If he's Bekeach, he'll force her into Shvuah Deraisa. How? Yovel Ksuva ba Bechatzada. There already is one aid saying that he paid the Ksuva way back when. He has one, but he only has one aid. One aid would make her make a Shvuah, but that's not Shvuah Deraisa because it's making her make a Shvuah. A, it's Shiba Kakoyis, not Stam alone, and the Ksuvah of Shiba Kakoyis, and B, it's a Shvuah that she's swearing to collect, not swearing to keep. So in order to get her to make Shvuah Deraisa, it has to be an aid coming to the husband's defense that he should be claiming money back from her. How's that going to happen? He gives her a Ksuvah, a second payment Ksuvah, Ba'api Chalzad in front of one aid, the Samach Sa'ad, the Kam of Asad Basra, and he puts together the two aid echas now, Umukim Lulana Kamai, B'milva. He puts together two aid echas testifying that what? That she collected her Ksuvah. And which renders the first monies that he paid, the first monies that he pays, and he has Eid Echad backing up that monies. He has the Eid Echad saying that he paid that money. That becomes Alva. He's going to say, the first money I gave was a loan. V'arai, I gave you a second Ksuvah later. I gave you a payment later. So that's the Ksuvah. And now that it's a loan, if he claims he gave her a loan, and she denies, and he has Eid Echad saying that there was a loan, she's got to swear. Now he's forcing her to swear to keep her money, not to collect money, to keep her money. That would be his option if it's a pikeach. What's the obvious problem? There's only two separate echads here. So what could she do? She could just go and deny both. She could say, I didn't get the first ksuvah, I didn't get the second ksuvah, I got none. I got nothing. And Adarabba, if she's willing to, okay, it's a rabbinic shvuah, she still may take a rabbinic shvuah, but if she's willing to swear a rabbinic shvuah, she'll actually go and collect the third ksuvah. This guy, this eitzah that we're giving for this pikeach, will mess him up even further. Says the Gemara. Maskevav shisha braid of Edi. How could you combine the first witness and the second witness? So the truth is there's a mechlekes in the Rishonim again, how to learn this line. Rashi seems to be learning that the issue is that they're not testifying about the same exact ksuva, right? So how is he able to get these two aiden together? The Rishonim take issue on that pshat because the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, the Flamin, and other places that if you have two aiden testifying about that Reuven lent Shimon $100, one testifies happened on Monday, one testifies happened on Tuesday. Seemingly, if they're both telling the truth, it's two separate loans. But the bottom line is, he has a pair of aiden saying Shimon owes $100. He would be able to merge those aiden and collect based on the testimony. So what would be the issue over here? How could that be the Gemara's issue over here? Why is that a problem? So because of that Gemara, the Ritva, someone to say that Rashi holds this Gemara is different than that Gemara over there. But the Ritva learns our Gemara's issue is that the first aid, he testified that the ksuva was paid. So what do you want to do? You want to have him go and testify now about the loan, Marvshach. if you're going to use the first aid to combine them with the second aid to say the ksuva was paid, the first aid can't go back now and say that the first monies was a loan. He can't transfer chasas. The Ein Echad only saw one transaction. He saw husband gave money, which he thought was for ksuva. Now you have a second aid saying that there was a second payment for ksuva. You want to combine the two Ein Echads to have two aid on a ksuva. Yeah, that works. Like the Maran Sanhedrin. That works. But the first aid is no longer available to testify about a loan. So that's the Maran's question. You don't have an aid available for the loan. Okay. Says Gemara, you're right. Elam Rav Shishi Bar Yehudi. This is the Eitza. Yovla ksuva Rav Shishi Bar Yehudi tweaks. He really tweaks Rav Papa's plan. But he says, this is what you do. Yovla ksuva. You pay the second time. The husband has one aid saying he paid the ksuva once already. He goes and pays the ksuva the second time with two aid in present by the second time. And the Mara gives, Rashi learns it's just aid taiva. The Mara says, let the aid who was there the first time, let him also be, instead of finding more aid, let him be present the second time too, that same aid. He could, now that he saw two separate actions, he could certainly testify that the first one was a halva and the second one was a ksuva. So you have two aid on the second ksuva. Now an aid echad about halva. And now the husband will have the ksuva paid, and he's going to force her into a corner to make a shvuah d'oraisa to pay back the money that she owes him as alva. Umukim al kamei b'alva, says Gemara, not so fast. Maskar Rashi, so Rashi yes, on Ravidi's plan, akati chol lememar shtei ksuvas have. This is a new concept. You can still say the two ksuvas. This will come up later in the Masechta, but there's a concept. It's coming up actually, it'll come up very shortly, the next couple of days, the daf. But here's a concept. The idea is, let's say there's a big ksuva. The guy wants to promise his wife $1 million ksuva, but he doesn't want to be mechuyev to pay it all at once. It could be very expensive. So he wants the flexibility to pay it over time so he can write it two ksuvas dated with different dates, potentially. That's going to be one echatimsa. It's odd to have two separate ksuvas, but maybe that'll be echatimsa where we have it. So she could claim, no, it was two separate ksuvas. He's paying me one money for one ksuva, one money for another ksuva. I don't owe him anything. And therefore, she could still counteract the eid echad. And you don't have any halva. There's no halva here that she would have to swear against. You didn't accomplish a shvuah d'oraisa. Elam Ravashi, who the moidelu. The eitzah still works, but you have to tweak the plan just one bit further. The husband has to go over to the eidim and tell him before, this is what I'm doing. Meaning, if you would know two ksuvas, I only had one ksuva. I'm going to pay her now a second time because I'm in this pickle and I need to get her to swear a shvuah d'oraisa that she didn't get the money, that there's no money given to her. So in order to do that, I need to convert monies that I gave to her originally, which I gave for ksuva, but I need to convert it now to like a loan. Pay her a ksuva, the one ksuva, a second time. And he let the witnesses know about that. Once the witnesses know about that, then we say, really the concept of two ksuvas is very uncommon. And we have Adam testified that the husband, before he paid the ksuva, he notified them about that. So then we say, it's not mistaver, we're not going to believe her to say that there was two ksuvas, and therefore she would take a mechuyev to swear a shvuah d'oraisa about dalva. So that's how the husband's pekach will be able to get her to swear a shvuah d'oraisa instead of a shvuah d'rabbanan. And again, that's why Rashi over here spends more time elaborating, perhaps, what the chumash was Rashi d'rabbanan is. We're so busy focusing on trying to convert. She has to swear a shvuah d'rabbanan anyway, we said, just to collect against Eid Echad. The husband's going to do this whole shtickel taira in order to get her to upgrade the shvuah d'oraisa. So Rashi elaborates that the shvuah d'oraisa has sefer Torah, has the shame. Problem is, again, Rashi and Sanhedrin, Rashi and Gittin agrees that maybe even shvuah d'rabbanan has that. Seemingly, the consensus of the mefarshim is that the bigger chumrah overall is that the punishment for shvuah d'oraisa, the ramifications of a full shvuah d'oraisa are much more chumrah. To the extent that Chazal, I forgot the Rishonim already bring this, eliminated making people do shvuah d'oraisas in any case, and they downgrade all the shvuah d'oraisas down to shvuah d'rabbanan because shvuah d'rabbanan only have a klala and not the terrible ramifications of a shvuah d'oraisa. Okay, we said the Mishnah that one of the cases that a woman has to swear before she collects is nechasim shabbat. She goes to collect from the lekuchas of the husband, those who bought the husband's property. She's got to swear before she collects. Another case was if she comes to collect from yisaimim, she has to collect only with a shvuah. Nechasim shabbat from yisaimim tanasim. We learned in the Mishnah in shvuas v'chein yisaimim this shvuas daf memhei. Yisaimim also, this Yisaimim are the collectors now. Yisaimim also should only collect with a shvuah. Never mind. Who are the Yisaimim collecting from that we're saying they have to make a shvuah? Ilim Maleva, if the lender is their father and he died, and the Yisaimim now coming to collect their father's debt from the Leva. Now, had the father been alive, he wouldn't have to make a shvuah to collect. Malva doesn't have to swear to collect. Hashtag in Shakabai Shvuah. So if the father would be able to collect without a shvuah, in a shvuah, you're going to put an onus on the Yisaimim who are in a weaker position. You're going to make them have to swear before they collect? Very shver. It doesn't make sense. Elach kamar. The chiddush is not only when a malva goes to collect from his leiva, the leiva is dead, so he's going to collect from the estate. He's going to collect from Yisaimim. We have a klal that when one collects from Yisaimim, ain't if el b'shvua, and that's what we just referenced in the Mishnah. You need to make a shvua. The chiddush is if the malv is also dead, and his yisaimim are collecting. So you may say maybe it's kind of even playing field now. Yisaimim from yisaimim don't command a shvua. No, anytime you collect from yisaimim, even if it's other yisaimim who are coming in the shoes of their father, the malva, they still need to make a shvua in order to leifaru ella b'shvua. Amar v'zveika, Amar Huda, l'shen l'sham yisaimim. This only if the yisaimim say, Amar l'nu abba l'visi prati. This is talking about where the borrowers, yisaimim, say, our father said that I borrowed and I paid back. So over there, they can collect. The father on his deathbed said, I borrowed and I paid back. We assume that even though he admitted he borrowed, he's saying he paid back, and on his deathbed, the big svar is, a person typically, the Ritva points out, this is going to be a relevant svar throughout the whole Gemara, a person typically doesn't lie on his deathbed. Even so, it's possibly confused. He paid back one loan, he didn't pay back the other loan, he mixed up which only paid back on his deathbed. And therefore, if the malviz yisaimim make a shvua that the money was owed, they're able to collect from the yisaimim. Aval, amrulanu abale levisi. But if the borrowers yisaimim say that our father said he never borrowed money in the first place, and then the yisaimim of the lender want to go and collect even with the shvua, says Rav Zveik Rav Huda, after shvua leiparu, even with the shvua they can't collect, they cannot collect even with the shvua. And the reason is because we say a person would never lie in his death, but they didn't borrow the money. That's a outright lie. There's an assumption he wouldn't make such a lie. That's the Gemara's assumption. The problem is the yisaimim have a shtar. They presume they have a shtar. The father, the malva, left over a shtar. So you're going to tell me that because the guy claimed he never borrowed, he's going to be believed because he's on his deathbed against a shtar? Says Gemara, Maskar Rava Adraba. Kol Aimer Lelevisi Kamla Prati. What I should be saying over here is, there's a shtar, Chayiv, that says that the borrower borrowed money. And now he's saying, I never borrowed. If he denies the borrowing, we could say with confidence he certainly never paid. If he's maintaining he never borrowed the money, we know he never paid back. And Adraba, now the Yisaimim should be able to collect without a shvua. They should be able to collect without a shvua even. These Yisaimim of the Malva from the Yisaimim of the Leiva. Says Gemara, El Yitmar, Yitmar. Rather, if there was a statement in this direction, this is what was said. Amar Zveik, Amar Vida, L'shenol Sham Yisaimim. This is only where the borrowers, Yisaimim, say, Amar Lanaba, Levi Siprati. Our father told us that he borrowed and he paid back. So over there we say if the lenders, Yisaimim, are willing to swear that they didn't receive the money, that the money wasn't paid back, then they can still collect. Aval, Amar Lanaba, Levi Si. If the father claimed the borrower, deceased borrower, he claimed he never borrowed it, and of course they have a shtar saying it was borrowed, Nefron Shle B'Shvua, the lenders, Yisaimim, can come collect even without a shvua. So exactly opposite. Whoever says Levisi and never borrowed is tantamount to saying, I never pay back. Once he denies borrowing, so then if we could prove he borrowed, we could certainly say he must not have paid back. Because if he's claiming he didn't borrow, obviously he wouldn't have paid it back. And therefore, you don't even need a shvua to collect, even though you're collecting from Yisaimim. These Yisaimim would not have to make a shvua in order to collect. L'chayru hu adin, even if it wasn't Yisaimim. Even if it was the father, the malv himself. Meaning, we've discussed the case, and the Mefarshim actually asked us, the Mefarshim asked us a question. Why are we picking a scenario of Yisaimim? This Gemara, again, it's a mission, Shvuah, it says, Yisaimim also have to make a Shvuah. And we're speaking out, a Chiddush, which Shveika says, only if the Yisaimim are collecting from other Yisaimim, where the father said, Levisi uparati. But if he says Le Levisi, they don't even have to make a shvua. That then l'chor shouldn't apply only to Yisaimim that are collecting, even if the father is still around. The malv is around himself. The malv is a star that says that this guy owed him money. The fellow is dead. He's going to collect from Yisaimim. Normally, he'd have to make a shvua. But if the Yisaimim of the deceased borrower say that their father had said he didn't even borrow money, then we know he didn't pay. If he says he didn't borrow money, he didn't pay, and the malv himself would have to collect. L'chayri, that should apply even to the not when Yisaimim are collectors, even when the malva is not himself is still around and he's the collector. L'chayri should apply. Perhaps there's a chiluk to be had, but on the face of it, it should be lav dafka. Okay, but the fashion in front of in the end of the Mishnah, we said that if she collects money. Towards that, the Mishnah actually, if she collects money, there's one more din. There's a Rav Shimon coming afterwards, but before that, we said if she comes to collect a ksuva when the husband's not around, he's out of town, so she needs to make a shvua. That's the third case where she needs to make a shvua. If Rashi in front of late to b'shvua, that was I think it's the third case. I think it was five cases altogether that she needs to make a shvua. We said if she's pegemas ksuva, if she's collecting from a yisaimim, from a chasim mishubadim. If she's collecting shalei b'fanav, right? Those are all various cases, or if edechet is paid, five cases in total. So the fifth case was if the husband is not around. Amar Racha Sar Habira, that was his name. Maisa, it was obviously a term of chashivas. Maisa balafim Reb Yitzchak ben Tuchya of Amar. There was a story that came in front of Reb Yitzchak ben Tuchya, and he said, Leishanu ela l'ksuvas isha. Dafka comes to ksuvas isha, we say that when the husband's not around, she's got to swear before, not she has to swear, she's able to swear that she didn't get payment yet, and she can collect when the husband's not around. However, and the reason is, because of chayna, which we had a machlokes already earlier in the Masechta, what does that mean? Does chayna mean that they should be, women should be ready to get married because they'll be confident they can collect the ksuva? Or does it mean we want her to get a ksuva in order to be able to get married to a new person now when she's single, she wants to get married to a new person, we need to make her more attractive, and by having a ksuva payment attached to her, it gives her, makes her more marketable. Okay. Either way, that's chayna they have by Isha. Av b'chayv, a regular creditor wants to collect when the debtor is away, you want to go to the property, you want to just swear that he never paid back and then have the bezin assess and let him collect property. We don't say that. We don't have to wait till he comes back. Like, for Rav Amar Nachman, no way. I feel about chayv, even by chayv this works, because you're going to give a great etzah. If, as long as the guy's not in town, you can't collect, and even with Ayde Shvua, you can't go to his assets and collect, so people are going to borrow money and then they'll skip town. They'll skip down and they won't be around and you won't be able to collect from them. And you're going to end up closing the door in front of the lender. People are going to stop lending. It's going to end up hurting the borrowers. The borrowers themselves won't be able to borrow because the lenders won't lend because they'll be concerned that the borrowers will skip town and it'll negatively affect them, so they'll stop lending. And therefore, in order to avoid that, we allow the lenders to collect al yadei yishvua. This is a very similar din that the lacha is a batei chayma. You have to redeem it if you want to, you're able to redeem it for up to 12 months. Up to 12 months, a house in a walled city, the seller of the house can go and redeem it. If it doesn't redeem it by the 12 months, then it remains, the sale remains final. So what were people doing? Of course, many people procrastinate and wait to buy back till the last day, till the last couple of days, last day, last week. So the buyers would go hide for the last day, last 2 days. They'd go hide right at the end of the year when the year is going to be up. They'd go hide, and then the seller wouldn't have a chance. They had finally gathered the money to repay and to buy back their house, and they weren't about to find the buyer. They weren't about to find him. So Bezdin was misakin that the seller of the house, the original seller, can go bring the money to Bezdin, leave it like an escrow in Bezdin, and then go and take back their house. And it didn't make a difference if the other guy wasn't around. It was takana, and that's called redeeming it back before the end of the year in order that these people shouldn't play games by disappearing. Similar type of idea that we have to protect the integrity of these transactions. Rav Shimon Aimer. Rav Shimon said, under the Mishnah, interesting klal, and it's not clear what he's going on. Kozmach tavas ksuvasa. If she claims her ksuva, then they can make her swear. You say we can make her swear. If she doesn't claim her ksuva, then they cannot make her swear. And the question is, it's a cryptic statement. What is Rav Shimon going on? If she claims her ksuva, we can make her swear. If not, not. Rav Shimon Ahai, which din of the Mishnah was Rav Shimon going on? So first, I want to say it's the almost immediate prior to the one that we were just discussing. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, aha. So the frash like ksuva, shall be fun of. We said an isha who comes to collect, not in the presence of the husband, has to make a shvua. Late to bring a shvua. Leishanam the mezainim, leishanam the ksuva. Doesn't make a difference if she's coming to collect the ksuva itself, or she's coming to collect even mezainis from the husband. That's the Tanakhama held. Vaser b'shem the meimar, and b'shem came along and said, "Calls mashi tavas ksuva." If she's claiming ksuva, you're right. You're shem mashpinasa. Then they can make her swear. If she's coming to claim ksuva, then they can certainly make her swear. Ain't it tavas ksuvasa? But she's not claiming ksuva. She's coming to get mezainis. Regular Zionists, and Yerusha Mashmina Isa, the Yerusha can't make us swear. And what's this machlekes? The Kamifik of Pukta Chanan Karamidalim. And the machlekes is the same machlekes that Chanan and they Karamidalim. We're going to have this in about 2.5 weeks on Daf Kuf Dalad, the time we learned the Mishnah. Mishal Chnina Siam, fellow went over to overseas. We just turned the page to pay Ches Amad Beis. Mishal Chnina Siam, Vishnu Tavas Mazainas. If someone went to Mishnah Siam and the wife needs Mazainas, Chanan Ayamar Tishavah Besaif, she loves to swear now. When she collects the ksuva, she has to swear that she didn't get any extra payment over and above the mezainis. She doesn't have to swear now to collect mezainis. She need not swear right now at the time she claims mezainis. And that's going to fit beautiful like Rav Shimon that just says that there's no need to swear for mezainis only when she's tevas ksuva. And the Chum say, B'nei Kaim Gadalim, the B'nei Kaim Gadalim argued, and they say, Tishab B'tchilu B'saif, that you got to swear both B'shas getting Mezainas and the B'saif Ksuva to make sure there wasn't any extra payments for Ksuva. So it fits like a glove. Rav Shimon of our Mishnah would be coming to argue and say, like Chanan, Kechanan later on. And the Rabbanan of our Mishnah, Tanakh of our Mishnah, is K'vnei Kaim Gadalim. So a very nice explanation of where Rav Shimon was coming to say. The obvious problem is that we were talking about a case where she's being Tevas Shle B'funav. The husband is in, like the Mishnah later on, Dafka Fadal, in Medina Siam. If that's the case, why are we focused on Yisayimim? Why are we saying that she has to swear to the Yerushim if she's collecting Shleib HaFan? What Yerushim? We're not talking about Yerushin. He's not dead. The husband's still alive. He's just overseas. Ask Ramaskov Sheshes. Hi, Yerushin Mashmina. So thank Yerushin making us swear. Bezdin Mashmina. Bezdin is making us swear. In the absence of the husband, it's the Bezdin making us swear. Nothing to do with the. She's not collecting from the Yerushin. She's collecting from the husband's assets. And Bezdin is the one being yearned at his assets to collect because he's not around. It's Bezdin. It's not the Yerushin. So the wording doesn't make sense. It'll be a nice pshat, a nice connection to the machlokes later on, but it doesn't fit the wording of a Mishnah, which focuses on Yerushin. Elam Rav Sheshes. Another pshat. Rav Sheshes is going on the following statement. That we're going to work our way back, a nice little chazara, over the past couple of Mishnayos. Now this, again, in our perek, there's gemaras in between, so it seems like it's a couple of bad ago, and it seems like it's far apart, but there's really all one Mishnah before the other in the Seder HaMishnayos. Elam Rav Sheshes, Rav Shimon's members going on the earlier part of the Mishnah. Halacha Makever Baal Beis Aviyah, we spoke out that if after, this is a woman who had no dealings with the husband's estate, husband's assets, she wasn't the CEO, she wasn't the administrator, Bechayev. But then, and then she went from his death, from his kever, Mekever Baal Beis Aviyah, to the husband's house. She went to her father's house. She went back to the husband's house, but she wasn't made an administrator over the assets. And then, this is going back to the Mishnah, where, just to be a little more elaborate, the husband had said, you don't have to make any shvua to me about the assets, to me or to my children. The halacha is, but after he dies, she would have to make a shvua if she became an administrator over the assets posthumously after the husband died. So in this case, she didn't go to be an administrator. She went back to her own family's house, or she went to the husband's house, but she wasn't involved in the business. And Yerushim Hashminasa, the Yerushim Taka cannot make her swear. Vimnasa Apitrapa, but if she did act as an Apitrapas over the assets after the husband died, then Yerushim Hashminasa lost love. Yerushim can make a swear on anything that took place after the husband's death. However, Yerushim Hashminasa, they can't make a swear on that which took place before the husband's death. There was a discussion, if you remember, about between death and between the Kvura, but they can't make a swear about what happened Mashav in the past because the husband already released her from any obligation of Shua on that which took place during his lifetime. Yerushim Shem the Mamer, she came on to say as follows. If she's going to claim her ksuva, then the Yerushim can now make her swear. Rav Shimon's going to say a chumra that once she's being to make ksuva, the Yerushim can make a swear, and even in her role as administrator, because if she took extra money as administrator, that would be payment for the ksuva. That would be money that theoretically should go towards the ksuva. So now there's a hechadim, so the Yerushim can make her swear. Says Rav Shimon, Kolzman. They can make a swear. The machlok is now is the same machlok is put to the Abishol of Rabbanan. The machlok is Abishol and the Rabbanan. At the time we learned in the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah in Gittin on Nun Beis. Apitrapas Shemino Avi Yisayimim. An Apitrapas that was appointed by the father of the Yisayimim. Before we go further, there's a fundamental machlok here in the Mishnah, which is considered a more chashuv position. When the father himself appoints Apitrapas, that shows that the father trusts, and that's a certain chashivas. Or when Bezdin appoints Apitrapas, that's like a stamp from Bezdin at the have an amanah. Stuff mean is, whichever is the more chashev one, we're going to force that Apitrapas to swear there. Because we say that so they're willing to make a shvua, they're not just accepting it without willing to make a shvua, because the fact that they were given this position is a chashivas, and they'd be willing to make a shvua because of that reputational benefit that they get. The one that's not the chashev position, over there, they're not going to be willing to make a shvua, and therefore we're going to have to absolve them from a shvua in order for them to make sure to take the position of being Apitrapas. So, we have machlekes. The Mishnah says as follows. Apitrapas Shemina Avi Yisayimim, the father of the Yisayimim, appointed him as the Apitrapas Yeshava. He's got to swear that he didn't misappropriate any of the money. However, we knew Bezdin Leishav. If Bezdin appointed him, they can't make him swear because someone who's appointed by the father, presumably is the father's friend, he wants to help out anyway. And therefore, since he wants to help out, we're not going to, the fact that he has to swear is not going to prevent him from taking the position. But someone who's appointed by Bezdin, again, that's just Bezdin kind of is desperate. So such a guy, if he's going to find that he has to swear afterwards, he won't take the job. So he said, you don't have to swear. Abishalom Mechilof Advarim. You know, Bezdin, this is where I jumped out of myself. This is where you have the benefit of the reputational stamp of approval. So Yeshava, he has to swear because the fact that he gets the approval from Bezdin, he's for sure going to take the position. It's great for his reputation, great for his resume, and he'll swear. Minav Yisayim, but if the father appointed him, like Yeshava, the guy shouldn't swear, otherwise he's not going to take the position in the first place. And furthermore, the father already shows that he trusted this guy. Okay, so Leishav. So we want to say as follows. Rav Shimon is Kabashal. Rav Shimon goes like Abishal, who says that when it's Mineo V'Yisayimim, when the father Yisayimim appoints, you don't have to swear. Whereas, Rabbanan Karabbanan, and the Rabbanan go like the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan go, the Rabbanan of Abayas, who say that as long as she's collecting Shlei B'Fanav, she has to swear. That is like the Chamim, who say that when the father appoints an Apitrapas, Yeshava, you have to swear. So that's the same type of a, that's the Machlokes having over here. The problem is Maskor Abaye, Hai Kozman Shetevas Ksuvasa Im Tevas Mboile. The Lashon of Shem is Kozman Shetevas Ksuva. Sounds like there's episode like a a chumrah. Rav Shimon is coming to be more machmer tanakama, that as long as she is tevel ksuva, in that case, she's going to have to swear. He's going to say a chumrah. Over here, according to what we're learning, he's not saying a chumrah. It's a kula. He's saying, on the contrary, she doesn't have to make a shvua unless she's tevel ksuva. Until the point that she's tevel ksuva, as that pitra, but she wouldn't have to make a shvua. Im tevas mbaile. It's only if she came to ksuva. But less than, meaning because he'd be more mekel than the chumim, he's saying that she doesn't have to swear unless she's tevel ksuva. Only then would she have to swear. So according to this explanation, the lashon of the Mishnah is not meduyik. Elam Rabaye ha, so must be referring to an earlier Mishnah in the parak. Kasva nedeshua in the alayich enech lashpia. If the husband says to her, I have no rights to make a neder. I'm relinquishing my rights to make you make a neder or a shvua. Enech lashpia, he cannot make a swear. Neder shvua engli. So the first case, he can't make a swear, but his Yarshim could make a swear. But if he says, I can't make a swear, my Yarshim, nor those that come in my place, and they cannot make you swear, not you, not Yarshim, not whoever comes in your stead, he can't make her swear, not her, not him, not his Yarshim, not anyone who comes in his place, he cannot make her swear, not her Yarshim, not anyone who comes in her place. As follows, if she comes to collect the ksuva, she's tevel ksuva, then even though the husband made such a clear directive to exempt her from swearing, that's all only about the administration of the state, about what she may have taken, stamazai, in operating the house and the state, kolzman, she was in charge. But to collect ksuva, you're allowed to make her swear. That is Rav Shimon's chumra. The kamiftikli, and this is a nice chazar for us. We just had this yesterday. The plukti Abishol ben Ima Miriam. Remember the name? Abishol ben Ima Miriam, Rabbanan. That what? That Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon goes like Abishol ben Ima Miriam, who says that even the woman whose husband exempted her from making a shvua, we spoke out back then, if you remember, we discussed, it sounds like he's arguing on the Mishnah. It sounds like he's arguing on the Mishnah. We discussed, is there a way to explain he's not arguing on the Mishnah? But the pashto is, he's arguing on the Mishnah, or at least Lagabe collecting ksuva. Rav Shimon over here is going to Abishol, Ben Ima Miriam, that when she comes to collect ksuva, she would have to swear. Rabbanan Karbanan, the Magog Karbanan say no, the husband's license to exempt her from swearing is licensed across the board, and she wouldn't have to swear even if she collects a ksuva. Maskif la Rav, there's still a problem. Even with this mahalach, Hatena calls Mash to ask ksuva. Tzuvasa. That's all good in a case where you explained the Rav Shimon's first part of a statement where he said that if she's tevel ksuva, she's got to swear. And that's Hakach Chumra coming on like Abishol ben Ima Miriam, who says that even though the husband exempted her from Shvua, you're going to have to swear. We're going back all the way back on that end of the Mishnah earlier in the Perek, and was saying that we're arguing if she comes to ksuva, she would talk after swear. We're coming to be Machmir. But Rav Shimon said a second statement. Ain't it tevel ksuvasa? Michael, remember, his second statement was, if she's not tevel ksuva, she doesn't have to swear. According to what you're saying, of course not. The Chum held in that scenario where the husband absolved her, she never has to swear. So what's Rav Shimon adding with that last line? Ella Rav Papa, okay, Mendir Belazer, Umachlakusa. So if you jump into Rashi, Rashi says, let's read the Rashi inside. Klemar, Leitim Rav Shimon, Akasav la Nedu Shvul Chud Palag. Don't say Rav Shimon is only arguing when he says she only has to swear when she's tevel ksuva, arguing on that din that we had earlier about the case where the husband absolved her from a shvua, that discussion earlier in the parak, ela kule milsa, because we're bothered, then what's the flip side? Rav Shimon says that when she's not tevaskuva, she has to swear. Well, no one argued on that. So we're coming to say, yeah, there is something, there's an akut, he's coming to argue on as well. He's coming to argue with that second part of the statement, that when Rav Shimon says when she's not being tevel ksuva, she doesn't have to swear, because there are others that say that there's scenarios where she does have to swear, even when she's not being tevel ksuva. And what's that? Akula kula milsa de Rablazar ben Mechakusai, Polik, Aresha, Vesefa, Shaminu de Kamir, Blazar, Abanan, this Rashi, Mashpia, Kozman, Shirza, that we had in Machlaikas, Rablazar held, even on the simple things in the house, the food, rations, the spindle, forget about running the store and Apitropis, that even on the simple things, and then I'm going to say, no, not on those simple things, you can't live with that, but on the Apitropis thing, certainly you can make her swear, and that Rashim would say that no, she's Pata from all Shvuas, except for when she claims Ksuva. If she claims Ksuva, she's Chayim on such Shvua. Otherwise, if she's not Tevei Ksuva, then she will not be, the Yershim cannot make her swear on any of the other items. So he's coming to argue on that Machlaikis in the... So again, it's not a full Chazar of the Teretz. We're just saying that the second part of Shem's statement is coming to argue on that other part of the Prime Mishnayos as well. Agit Devach, we'll pick up Mitzvah tomorrow morning from the Mishnah. We'll stay one daf ahead in order to cover Yom Kippur's daf before Yom Kippur. Have a good luck.